Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc. See a GP online anytime for prescriptions and sick notes. Download the VideoDoc app. VideoDoc.ie.
This is Ciara and this is a Lunchtime Live podcast from News Talk. If you like what you hear, don't forget that you can subscribe via the app or on iTunes and make sure to check us out at newstalk.com/lunchtimelive. Thanks for listening.
One of the things that has been big on the news today, and you heard it there in the bulletin and you heard clips as well from the Pat Kenny show earlier, is that increased drink driving checkpoints by An Garda Síochána, particularly in the mornings. This is what seems to be getting up people's noses. Have come in for heavy criticism from government ministers, including the Minister for Justice. I think that's remarkable that the Minister for Justice might be criticising An Garda Síochána for doing their jobs, but you tell me what you think. One minister, speaking privately, said increased checkpoints in the morning were over the top. And get this, we're great at the hyperbole here, aren't we? Akin to a police state. And Minister for State for Natural Resources, Community Affairs and Digital Development, Sean Canny, spoke to Shane Coleman on News Talk Breakfast this morning about it. And here's what he had to say.
The ordinary person going to work feels that they're being pulled in when they're... If you're going to work in Galway City from East Galway, it's a challenge to get into work in the morning with traffic. But to have guard the checkpoints on a very, very regular basis, holding up traffic, it is also an annoyance. So we need to do it in a way balanced. That's what I'm saying.
So a Gardaí rolling down the, asking you to roll down your window as you're caught in traffic anyway, asking you, did you have a drink last night?
No,
that's a form of persecution?
No, what I'm saying, I didn't say when you're stopping traffic anyway. I said you have enough of challenges trying to get into work, trying to get through the traffic. But if you have a further hold up by having checkpoints at particular times, I think there's plenty of times during the day and night when we can have drink driving checkpoints.
Okay.
But I do believe we need to keep a balance. And I'm being told this and I see it firsthand myself.
Okay. So what do you think of that? Have you been stopped at Garda checkpoints yourselves? Do you think that they're necessary? Do you think that they're a nuisance? Let me know what you think. 53106. I'd like to hear from people about whether they think this is a good thing or a bad thing. I'll tell you what I think. I think I can't believe that we are seeing the guards criticised for enforcing the law. I think it is, particularly from the party of Law and Order that is Fine Gael. I'm really agog at this. And here's the newsflash. If you're over the limit in the morning, you shouldn't be on the road. It doesn't matter if you were a good boy or girl last night and got a taxi. If you're over the limit, you're a danger to other drivers. 11% of road fatalities occur between 7 a.m. and 11 a.m. Do you think you should be immune? Do you think you get a pass? You get a pass for some reason in the morning? What are we talking about? Is this just our drink culture kicking back against small inroads being made against it? I would suggest that perhaps it is. But I'd like to know what you think, because I heard that lovely man Leo speaking to Jonathan this morning on Pat Kenny, whose daughter was killed. And he absolutely nailed it when he said people need to get their priorities straight. Which is the bigger inconvenience? You tell me, being stopped occasionally by a guard and asking you to blow into a bag, or losing a loved one? I mean, I have no idea where we're going on this at all. And I do think that we move the goalposts, don't we? We move the goalposts constantly, because it used to be, well, we don't need new legislation. We just need to enforce the legislation that we have. Well, lo and behold, we enforce the legislation that we have, and all of a sudden that's no good either. What are we actually saying here? Are we saying that it's okay? And you know yourselves what you're like when you're having a hangover. I've had a hangover. I don't think there's an Irish person practically alive who hasn't. And you feel the shakes and you feel a bit grim and you feel a bit unpleasant. What do you think this is about? It's about road safety. And our road safety is almost a victim of its own success. That's what it is, because you forget how bad it used to be. Someone has texted and said, when personal responsibility is low on people's agenda, a bit of law enforcement is the only measure to slap their wrists. But how long does that memory last? Criticism of the guards is ridiculous on this one. And one of our listeners, Don, is on the line. Don, what do you make of this? Do you agree with the minister?
No, I think it's a ridiculous stance for the minister to take. You know, the only way that we've changed the culture in Ireland is by education and by enforcement.
Yeah.
When you look back, I mean, I went into journalism in the mid-70s and, you know, everybody drank, including myself.
Yeah.
Because we didn't know any better. And, you know, lo and behold, 20, 30 years later, the whole culture has changed.
Yeah.
And you would want to be a complete idiot to sit behind the wheel of a car while you have drink taken.
Yeah. What do you think? It seems to have lit a tinderbox of reaction, this idea of being breathalyzed, though, in the morning, Don. People feel it's unfair. They don't seem to care whether they're over the limit or not over the limit. That's not what they're judging people on. It's just unfair to be checked at that point in the day. What do you think of that?
I think I don't think that's a new issue. I can remember kind of 10, 15 years ago bringing children to school, and you were aware of that issue in South Dublin where I lived.
Yeah.
That you would be stopped on the way, you could be stopped and were stopped on the way to school bringing children to school. Okay, it's an annoyance, but the bottom line is you shouldn't be driving if you've been drinking.
Yeah.
And if the drink has not gone through your system, it's up to you to be responsible, you know, really, and to ensure that the drink has left your system.
Isn't it a bit like, Don, if somebody got a taxi if they were out drinking the night before, they feel they've done enough. So I've done enough, I've ticked that box, and it doesn't matter whether I'm shaky and bleary-eyed and feel nauseous and rubbish behind the wheel in the morning. I've done enough, I got a taxi last night.
Yeah, I mean, there is that attitude, of course, but, you know, as I say, people have to do school runs, people have to go into work, and it's like everything else in life, it's just taking personal responsibility.
Yeah. It totally
and,
is.
You know, just minding yourself.
Yeah.
And minding other people. I mean, I've been at too many inquests with victims of drink driving, too many court cases.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a journalist, knocked on too many doors where people have lost son or daughter, multiple victims.
Can you imagine living that life, that you've lost your son, your daughter? I mean, I would have to say you don't raise them for that. You don't raise your child to be mowed down by a drunk driver. That's not what you want for them. That's not a life path for somebody cut down in their prime. And how on any planet can we go soft on that? I don't really understand the issue around this at all. And frankly, I don't care if you're going to mass, school, work or wherever you're going. That's irrelevant.
It is irrelevant. And I mean, I see some politicians coming out saying it's destroying rural life and all the rest of it. It's an inconvenience in rural Ireland. I moved to rural Ireland 4 years ago in County Wexford and, you know, up almost every day to Dublin. And I've never seen a drink driving checkpoint.
Yeah. I've never been breathalyzed either. So I think people saying that there's far too many of them, I don't understand. But thank you for that indeed, Don. Thank you for that insight there. Someone says, checkpoints at night will not catch those who are heavy drinkers at home. They will only be caught if they're over the limit in the morning. That minister should go. And yes, indeed, you'll never be. I mean, you're allowed to be a heavy drinker at home. No one is arguing against that. But it doesn't matter what time of the day you're over the limit. There's no free pass between 6 a.m. And noon. I mean, this is madness. Anne-Marie on Twitter says, are there too many to guard the checkpoints? Yes, in the same way there are too many lifeboats on a passenger ferry. And someone else says, I've been driving since 2005. I'm from Donegal and have only been breathalyzed once in that time, and I drive a lot. It does seem to depend on what bit of the country you live in. Robert is on the line. Robert, you are down in rural Cork. Are there many checkpoints down where you are?
No, and I'm a faculty researcher there now, and I haven't seen many at all. And to be fair, Kara, I have no problem with a checkpoint in the morning.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's their job. Like, and
absolutely.
It's up to us as responsible drivers to know when. The only thing I'd like to see is a home breathalyzer kit supplied to people at a kind of reasonable cost. Maybe they might.
Totally true.
I mean, you know, to be grand to know that if you did think that you were over the limit, that you could chance it and check yourself.
Yeah.
I know some vehicles have built-in breathalyzers in them already. I know some trucks as well have it, and I think it's a good idea.
Yeah, and some of those things, I think they can't actually drive the car if they the mechanism of the car won't work if you're over the limit. Can I ask you, Robert, because you have a lovely Cork accent on you. You live in rural Cork. We keep hearing that drink driving law is the ruination of rural Ireland. What do you think about that?
You know, it's a sad situation, really. You know, you imagine a farmer living up the side of a mountain there.
Yeah.
He's on it out, let us a few pints in the afternoon, in the evening, meet his friends and his neighbours.
Yeah,
it's just sad that he can't do it now, because I'd like to hear he really have a pint in all fairness, because if I'd be a fairly big man now, like I'd be pushing up to 17 stone, like, and I could drink 2 pints care and drive, no problem after it.
You might be over the limit if you were caught.
Oh, I'd be over the limit, and I won't do it now, like. But what I'm saying is that
I'd
be a responsible driver, and you know, I wouldn't. But then again, you just don't know.
No, you don't know. You don't know.
I think the law's there now, and we have to appreciate it. And, like, in my own area now, I can tell you, Ciara, I don't see anybody drinking driving.
Yeah, I think it has changed. I remember back my parents' generation that there was drink driving as a kind of a norm, and people used to just maybe eat a few mints and off they'd go or whatever. They didn't really, or maybe have a cup of coffee. They didn't think that it was a big deal as such, I don't think. Do you think, Robert, because I'm very interested in what people in rural Ireland think, I genuinely am, and I take what you're saying, that a lad who maybe is isolated in his work on a farm or those types of things, and he wants to socialise and he wants to go to the pub. If we accept that drink driving is not the solution, and I think we do, and you're saying that yourself, that the law is the law, do we need to get cleverer about other ways of facilitating people in rural Ireland coming together, like things like local area transport hubs or some such thing? I don't even know what they are, but ways of getting people communally together, whatever way they might be, but that don't involve, I suppose, getting behind the wheel.
I know, we do. But, like, you see, you mentioned rural Ireland, like, but rural Ireland is, like, Cork is the biggest county in Ireland, like, yeah. And there's places in Cork, like, that I haven't even seen, and I'm living here over 50 years.
Are you?
You know what I mean? You can go up the side of mountains there, down, just, you know, in Barland, you know, have you ever heard of Barland, down by Kilgarvan? And
I have not.
There's people up the side of hills and mountains, like, living, and, you know, they see, like, there's places, like, around the country where people don't see anybody on the postman every week.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and of course, the postman, that's all changing as well. Look, I do appreciate you coming on, Robert, and thanks for coming on and being so sensible, and good luck to you, and thank you for that indeed. Fiona, one of our listeners, is on the line. Fiona, just for anyone who's just joined in, we're talking about what the ministers in Cabinet apparently are saying is that Garda enforcement of drink driving checkpoints is over the top, akin to a police state. Even the Minister for Justice criticising on Garda Síochána Síochána, which is actually a breach of all sorts of, I suppose, etiquette, I would have thought, around that, because you would have thought that the job of the minister was to be supportive of guards doing their job. I don't know. But Fiona, one of our listeners, is on the line. And if you want to get involved, 53106 is the text line. Have you come across many checkpoints, Fiona, and what do you think of them?
Well, I was stopped last Saturday morning early while going to collect my son from his swimming lessons. Uh-huh. I think they're a great idea. The only way we'll enforce a change in behaviour or effect a change in behaviour is by enforcing the new legislation.
Yeah.
And it's still relatively recently introduced.
Yeah.
So I can understand why Garda resources are being put onto it. If it's something new, you do want to make a point and enforce it pretty quickly.
And people are more likely to change their behaviour if they think they're going to get caught for not changing their behaviour, I suppose.
Well, exactly. And it certainly has had an impact on me. Not that I'm going out all the time and getting in the car the following morning, still the worse for wear, but I certainly will not do it in future.
Yeah.
Whether or not I may have done it in the past, I won't be doing it in the future.
So it has changed your point. It is the point. But did you object, for example, to being breathalyzed? Did you object to being stopped that you might have been 5 minutes or 10 minutes late for swimming? Did you think, this is outrageous, it's a police state, I can't believe this is happening? Did you feel in some way persecuted by the guards asking you to blow into the bag?
Not at all. No, it was the first time actually I had been stopped in, you know, 20 years of driving. So it certainly wasn't an inconvenience. I wasn't worried about being late. It just brought home to me that I thought it was good. It's good to see the guards out enforcing legislation.
Yeah.
That's your
only time, because you see, I'm inclined to agree with you. Dee on Twitter says, I've been driving 14 years, drive all over the country for work, never once breathalyzed. Someone else says, driving 17 years, most of that time drove a car, never breathalyzed. I've never been breathalyzed. Jonathan Healy's never been breathalyzed, and we're all driving 20 odd years. So this notion that you can't move for the breathalyzer being thrown at you, it seems to me it's a bit of an exaggeration.
Definitely. Well, certainly in my experience, it's an exaggeration. But enforcement is what makes people change their behaviour. Even the roadworks that are on the N7, the widening, the speed limit 60. I drove on it many times with people, you know, booting past me at 80.
Yeah.
And then the word comes out that actually those speed cameras do stop people, and now everybody drives at 60 or even slightly less than 60. So
yeah. Enforcement.
Enforcement is method, and we don't live in a police state. I think anyone who makes that
it's actually a bit of an insult to the guards, isn't it?
Exactly.
Considering how decent most any guard I've had had much dealings with have generally been very decent and reasonable, and I think. Yeah, I'm agog at people saying things like that. But I suppose the bottom line is this, is you're going to have no difficulty being breathalyzed unless you're over the limit. And if you're over the limit, should you be taken into account? Well, exactly.
I mean, I think at this stage, there can be very few people who don't know that we have a new limit and very few people who don't know that really you shouldn't even sniff a glass of beer or wine or whiskey if you intend to get out in the car. And in my own family, it's, you know, people stay the night in each other's houses if we're going for dinner and it's not convenient or not possible to get a taxi home.
You just stay.
You stay the night.
So you've changed. You're exactly right. And I have to say, if I'm drinking, I don't drive at all. And if I'm driving now, I don't drink at all. And I used to have one drink because I used to think one drink and a bit of time elapsing and maybe something to eat, I'd be okay. But now I go, do you know what? The limit is so low and it is enforced. I'm not drinking a solitary drink. If I'm out with the car, that's it. I'm on the fizzy water or what have you. So look, I thank you for talking to us, Fiona. James says, Ciara, I agree that there should be morning checkpoints, random pop-up ones and zero tolerance for drink driving. I would love to hear from people who are of the same mind as our cabinet ministers, who think that it is outrageous, all these morning checkpoints, and that it's over the top and it's a police state. I'd like to hear from the other side. I won't eat you if you come on and talk to me. I would just like to hear what people think. And Mary is on the line. Mary, you think there should actually be more early morning checkpoints. Tell me why.
Definitely, because I live in Bettystown, County Meath, and I have never seen a checkpoint early in the morning from Bettystown to the M1 or along the M1. And I just feel that people do take the chance. They're out the night before and they think, oh, I'll be all right in the morning. And I'd say probably 50-60% of them are not all right in the morning.
Yeah. I agree with you. I remember some time ago being at an event where we were all staying in a hotel and it was kind of like a ball thing. And the next morning, what I thought was very interesting was people were saying they weren't heading back to wherever they were from, to Dublin or Galway or wherever they were, they'd stayed the night in this hotel. They were going to take some time around the hotel and have breakfast and have coffee and go for a walk and everything to make sure that they were not over the limit still, that they wanted to make sure that any drink that they'd had from the night before was long gone. I think people are starting to take it seriously, and I don't see why that is a bad thing.
No, it's definitely not a bad thing. And I think it's actually disgraceful that TDs who make the rules can come on and say it's an inconvenience. Like, if people who want to drink and drive hear TDs saying it's an inconvenience to be stopped, I actually think it's disgraceful. You know, the people making the rules are now giving out about the rules.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally agree with you, Mary, and I think you're spot on. You're absolutely dead right. Thank you for talking to me. Glenn says, Ciara, I've been breathalyzed twice in my life. Last time was about 10 years ago. Couldn't believe the guy on News Talk this morning. The guards should be in the bogs catching illegal dumping rather than running checkpoints. Yeah, I don't think it should be an either or. Stop the illegal dumping too. And someone else says, Ciara, this reminds me of when the tobacco industry used to reward politicians when they would publicly undermine any efforts against big tobacco. The drinks lobby in Ireland is very powerful still, but thankfully its power over the Irish people is gradually fading. I think there's a lot in that. I do think this is a pushback by our drink culture and any attempt to erode the power the drink culture has over us is always met with a bit of a kickback. But I think road safety and people's lives, frankly, trump that. But let me know what you think. 53106. In the first hour of the programme, we were talking about what I think is absolutely shocking comments from cabinet ministers about the guards doing their job and having Garda checkpoints looking for people drink driving, and loads of people talking about it. Someone says, it can come soon enough for the advent of driverless cars. Yeah, that'll make a big difference, won't it? Although one does wonder what will happen to Garda numbers and money received from fines. Well, I suppose they would be diverted, the guards, into other activities, I would hope, because they're mostly, I think, paid for by taxes. Someone else says, hi there, I have a person beside me who works for me. He smokes cannabis and drives. He says early morning checkpoints are only for drink drivers. My head is wrecked listening to him. Ah, rubbish. Drug driving is no different than drink driving. It's equally dangerous and I hope he's caught, to be frank. Somebody else says Uber would make a huge difference if it was allowed into rural Ireland the way it is elsewhere around the world. Locals could choose to earn money and it would sort out the problem with taxis. I think, Richard, you're absolutely right. I think we just need to get clever. Nobody wants, I don't know if these, we always have the farmer who lives up the side of the hill and never sees anyone all day touted as the person that we're trying to bring into their community and that drink driving laws are keeping out of their community. I don't know how many of them exist. If you are one and you're listening on your radio somewhere up the side of your hill, do let us know. Are there lots of you? But I do think we do want to facilitate those people, but we have to get clever about doing it. It doesn't mean that we should let people drink and drive. And Jonathan, one of our listeners, is on the line. Jonathan, what do you make of this talk of too many checkpoints?
Good afternoon, Ciara.
How are you?
I think it was a bit of an irresponsible comment, really, from the Minister of State. That if he's complaining about too many guard checkpoints, I mean, you have to ask the reason. Why would there be too many guard checkpoints? I mean, is it causing traffic congestion? Or is there nobody being caught and that's costing a huge amount of money? And I think everybody knows that there is no traffic congestion because of guarded checkpoints. And there are people getting caught. And there are people getting caught in the mornings, doing school runs, going to work. But I mean, the reality of the situation is they're not getting caught because the checkpoints are getting caught because they're drink driving.
Yes, because if they hadn't been drink driving, we'd all be being checked and we'd all go about our business and not a bother on us. So you think...
Exactly. That, yeah. But I think it's a bit of a lack of personal responsibility, really, that somebody gets into a car, having been drinking the night before to excess, and then goes driving to work, that they need to consider it a little bit more. And I think that the people are scared. They're scared of getting caught. But I mean, in reality, they should be scared of other things. I mean, I think we're all aware of the Road Safety Authority's ad that features little Kieran Tracy, who was killed by a drunk driver.
I know, awful ad. And it breaks your heart every time you see it.
Absolutely. And there was a good piece in one of the national newspapers shortly afterwards. And they had a more in-depth talk about what happened there. And one of the things they spoke to his mother about what happened just before the crash. And little Kieran was looking forward to going home and eating his pancakes for supper. And unfortunately, poor Kieran never made it home.
I know, tragic.
To eat pancakes. So, I mean, anybody that's scared about a guard checkpoint, that's not what they should be scared of. They should be scared that they're going to be responsible for another child not making it home in the evening to have their pancakes.
I completely agree with you, Jonathan. And I think you've nailed it, actually. I think people are saying, oh, God, this is desperate. The congestion and people being stopped on their way to mass and all of these things are being said. But what they're actually saying is, I don't want to get caught. I don't want to get caught because I am over the limit and I'm somebody who is, you know, I think we're making excuses as a society for why we don't want this to happen. But it's not really about us being delayed in the morning in our journeying. It's about, you know, it's not about getting to mass. It's not about getting to the GAA or getting to work or getting to school. It's not those things. It's about getting caught and we don't want to get caught.
Exactly. Fully agree.
Yeah. And I also think there is something in all of this that there is, it's a disingenuous thing. And I think, you know, the inconvenience of being stopped a couple of times doesn't in any way mount sort of on the one side of the argument, doesn't in any way sway the other side of the argument, which is that make our roads safer.
Definitely not. But I'd been stopped myself when the drink driving legislation came into force. I suppose about 10 years ago, I'd been stopped a number of times back then, but since then I haven't actually been stopped within the last 10 years.
Yeah. Look, thank you for that, Jonathan. Loads of really good points there. Thank you very much. Someone else says, I think the main problem with the drink driving is that the limits are now too low. I don't mind being breathalyzed the next morning, but I would like to have two pints on a Saturday night, but I can't because the limits are now too low and I may be over the limit on a Sunday morning with two pints the night before, even though I'm safe to drive. And that's from Noel. I would suggest you two pints is four units. From when you stop drinking, 4 hours later, unless you're getting up at 7 o'clock in the morning and not going to bed till 3 o'clock in the morning, the chances of you still being over the limit is practically nil. I'm not buying this thing, I can't have one beer or I'll be over the limit in the morning. It's got to be a lot more than one beer or two pints for you to still be over the limit the next day. And there's something in all this why people keep minimising how much alcohol you have to drink and still be over the limit. I don't get it. Kevin is on the line, one of our listeners. Kevin, you live in a small area in Cork. Are there checkpoints around your area that you're aware of?
Well, I actually don't live in the small area. I've got a seat in both camps here because of my pursuits, I'm involved in country pursuits. So I spend all my leisure time in the country, but I live in an urban area at the edge of Cork City.
Okay.
Now, interestingly, and there is a change of mindset out there in mid-Cork where I go to fish and shoot. There is a change of mindset because the guards are enforcing this. There's no question in the world about that. Because I hear my friends there telling me, oh, the guards were testing here Tuesday night and Thursday night and Saturday night. And I tell them, I haven't been stopped driving around Cork City in the last 20 years. I've been breathalyzed once in 20 years.
Yeah.
And they cannot understand that. And I think they feel a little bit aggrieved that they're being over-policed and we're not being policed at all. And there is another point to make in this as well, and it does affect a lot of people in the country, and that is that anybody driving a commercially taxed vehicle is on the 20 milligram limit, whereas you driving your private car, or I, are on the 50 milligram limit.
So there's different limits. I suppose, with respect, and I don't know this, I didn't draw up the laws, but is it something to do with the fact that it's the weight of those vehicles? If you get hit by one of them, if those guys hit you, you might have no chance whatsoever.
Exactly. They were originally what we called professional drivers, bus drivers, taxi drivers, truck drivers, but every van in the country, be a plumber or electrician or whatever, they're all driving commercially taxed vehicles. So they're on the 20 milligram limit, which is effectively don't use mouthwash. You know, it's really, really low for these guys. And they do feel aggrieved that they're being over-policed in some of these areas as regards
here's the $100 million question, and I don't have an axe to grind. I'm just wondering what you think. Is it a case of us being overpleased, or is it a case of us maybe having to just change our ways a little bit? That means one of us, if we're out together drinking the night before, doesn't drink if we're going to be driving on the road early in the morning, whatever.
That's it, exactly. The mindset has to be changed. And in fairness, it is, because in this area I'm thinking of now, I won't name it, but you know, people used to drive home after 4 or 5.
Yeah, I know they did too.
And then they drove home after 2 pints. And now they're finding, well, we can't drive home and have, you know, we can't have any drink at all.
Yeah.
And that's the way it has to be.
Yeah.
That's the way it is in modern society.
And that's why I think we've reduced our road deaths by about 60% or something. But thank you for that, Kevin. I love the different perspectives we're getting from people. Someone says, I completely support this, but it's a bit hard to work out when it's safe to get on the road. I'd really like to see self-breathalyzers be readily available for people. That's a great idea. People who want to be responsible and say, geez, I did have a couple of drinks last night. Am I over the limit? Am I under the limit? Let me blow into something. That's a good thing. Someone says, Kira, I've been mandatory stopped 4 times in 12 months. It is a police state. I don't agree with you. I just don't. That's just coincidence that you have, in fairness. I have never been stopped and breathalyzed in 20 years of driving. Stephen is on the line. Stephen, you're a gigging musician, so you're obviously driving around a lot at night. What's your experience at checkpoints?
Well, just since the new campaign came in November, December, I think every Friday, Saturday night, I was driving at peak time, say, you know, going to gigs at 11 and sometimes coming back at 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, yeah, where there's
the
a peak of crashes, as you say. Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't see a cop car, never mind a checkpoint.
Never.
And in 20 years of doing this very regularly, I'm doing a bit longer than that, I have been breathalyzed twice, and both times I could have avoided both checkpoints if I wanted to.
Oh, okay. So you think that there's... Are you saying that you think then there's not... Because it's an interesting thing. Some people are texting that. They're saying the guards are happy to be out on the road at 7 o'clock in the morning because that's, you know, but they don't want to be out on the road at 3 o'clock in the morning. Do you think there's an element of that?
I think the evidence backs that up. And I think the falsified breath tests have to come into the conversation in a big way as well. Which guard stations, which guards... because maybe, you know, that they're
I take your point on that, but I do think this, we criticise the guards for exaggerating the breath tests, and now that they're doing the breath tests, we're criticising them again. It strikes me that the guards are kind of just criticised irrespective.
Well, I mean, to be honest, myself and my colleagues have no problem with breath testing in the morning. If you're over the limit, you're over the limit, you shouldn't be driving, but it should really be done on a pro rata basis. And if they're going to be out that many times during the day, then they should be out, you know, times at night.
I totally hear you. Thank you for that indeed, Stephen. Good points. And what do you think, 53106, if the peak of drink driving is nighttime between, is it 11 p.m. and 2 a.m, it's something like that, I can't remember the exact statistic, but that's there and thereabouts, is that when we should see the majority of checkpoints? Although I would suggest if you're langers at that hour, a good time to catch you would be the following morning. Loads of people, just people with very different views texting. Someone says, Ciara, I cannot believe what I'm hearing. Ministers saying that the Gardaí are over the top and it's a police state, etc. I have been the victim of a drunk driver, so I have no problem with these drunken drivers being sent straight to jail. I think anyone who's been the victim of a drunk driver has a very different and very important perspective on all of this. And this is, as I say, lots of different points of view coming through, because someone says, Ciara, you're not impaired the morning after, even if you still have alcohol in your blood. Draconian drink driving laws are ridiculous. OK, let me just tackle that briefly, because the answer to that is, yes, you bloody well are. If you have alcohol in your system, it doesn't matter if it's been there for 12 hours or 2 hours, you have it in your system. And what that means is that you are in a position where you are not as good in terms of your reaction times and all of those things that make us a safer driver. So when you're there with your hangover and you're feeling a bit nauseous and you're feeling a bit shaky and you're feeling a bit bleary-eyed, yes, you are affected by that. And don't cod yourself otherwise. That's not draconian. That's cloud cuckoo land. And someone else says, Ciara, do we have any statistics on how many accidents are actually caused by drink driving? I'm guessing the figure would be very low. Why isn't there more of a focus not on the conditions of our roads and the likes of driver speeding? And that's from Steve. Steve, we do indeed have figures on all of that. And that, as I say, as I mentioned in a previous text too, is classic whataboutery. About a third of crashes are attributed to drink driving. So if you could stop drink driving, you would reduce by a third the crashes that are out there and all the fatalities, etc., that go with that. The conditions of our roads have also increased dramatically in a positive way over the last decade or two. We all remember when we were driving over potholes, but that's not the case now. So I think we're all so resistant to the notion that we can't drink and drive. It's unbelievable. Someone else says, Ciara, I'm driving 20 years. I live in Kildare. I've been breathalyzed 23 times. That's a lot. And I have no problem with it. The people that complain need to get a grip. See how they would feel if the guard was having to call to them to tell them that somebody they loved was killed from a drunk driver. Yeah. On that note, let's take a short ad break.
Lunchtime Live on News Talk.
Thanks to VideoDoc, your online healthcare provider. See a doctor, therapist or physio now on our app or at videodoc.ie.